Ezekiel chapter number 37. All right, Ezekiel chapter 37. Next week, I want to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and talk about how to be a free man. A lot of folks think they're free, and especially in America, we claim to be the land of the free, but I don't see very many free people. Amen. And if you're talking about the government, well, then that's getting worse and worse every day, going in the wrong direction. And so there is a cure for that, although I don't think the cure is going to be administered anytime soon, at least till the Lord comes. That could be soon. But what I'm trying to say is we're heading in the wrong direction, and there's no use in trying to revive the country until you revive the church. I don't know if you know it or not or ever even thought about it, but this country has only ever had any liberties because of folks that believe the Bible and that people were able to control themselves. I don't know any other people on the face of the earth who have ever been able to control themselves other than Bible-believing Christians, whether they were Hebrews in the Old Testament or actual Christians in the New Testament. Followers of God are the only people who've ever had any semblance of self-control. Amen? And that's not even self-control. When you see a guy that's not breaking the law and he's not breaking into his neighbor's house and he's being faithful to his wife or she's being faithful to her husband, that's not really self-control. That's God working in you and God doing something for you and God changing you and God giving you a new heart. And for all the cries of evolution that we evolving and getting better and better all the time, it looks like we'd be able to not break into our neighbor's garage and steal his Allen wrenches by now. Amen. If we were getting better and better, we're not getting better and better. We're getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. But at any rate, this week I want to talk to you about a revival in the church. And then next week, maybe we'll talk about how to, of course, I don't think we'll have revival in the church between now and next week. We just had a whole week full of services and I don't know if we got revival out of that or not. Amen. That's up to each and every one of you. I hope at least some of us got something out of the meeting this past week. But at any rate, let's look. I don't want to spend too much time. This message will turn into hours and hours and hours if I do that. But sometimes you got stuff to say and just don't have enough time to say it. Amen. Ezekiel chapter number 37. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And verse 11, he says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So, and I understand that, but I'm going to apply it to the church. I'm going to apply it to Christian folks and maybe even some lost folks as well, because the principles that are behind these things are absolutely true. Sometimes you read in the Old Testament, or you might read in one of the general epistles like Peter or James or something like that, and somebody will cry out that you're out of your dispensation. You're preaching out of Peter, and Peter's to these people and James is to that people. What you don't understand is you might be right on your dispensationalism, but you're wrong about the fact that the scripture is profitable for a whole lot of things. All through, you can read Genesis, it's good for you. You can read Ezekiel, it's good for you. Daniel's good for you. A lot of good lessons to be learned in Daniel, amen? And the reason that is because principles are the same from Genesis to Revelation. I don't care what dispensation you live in. Don't care how long you studied this. I don't care if you're a hyper-dispensationalist or a non-dispensationalist. Principles are true from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. Amen. And if God will take an old dead, slain, dry Israel and do something with them, God will take an old dead, dry, slain Baptist and do something with him. Amen. So this verse of scripture down here says in verse 12, it says, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, that's me. If you're saved, that's you. Are you God's people? It's hard to tell by looking sometimes. Sometimes they just look like a bunch of old skeletons. Amen. And sometimes it's hard to tell by looking. Sometimes it's hard to tell by looking. I was thinking about old Samson this morning, not rhyming, but the Samson in the Bible. Samson in the Bible was a whoremonger. Amen? And about the only thing Samson had going for him is he had the look. Amen. If you looked at him, you'd probably say, that old boy's lost and on his way to hell. Well, you say, why would you think that? Are you being judgmental? Yeah, when I see somebody hanging out with prostitutes, I think they lost. Well, that's being judgmental. Exactly. Who told you you weren't supposed to be judgmental? Some liberal? Hillary Clinton told you that. The Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. Exactly, exactly. That's exactly right. But the Bible says, with what measure you meet, it'll be measured to you again. But the Bible also says that you're to judge righteous judgment. You're supposed to get saved. You say, how did I get saved, Brother Mike? Let me tell you how you got saved. You got saved by judging yourself. You heard the word of God and you said, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. You called out to God because somebody said, call on the name of the Lord. You'll be saved. You called out to him. You judged yourself. God judged you as lost. God wrote a book about you being lost. God died on the cross because you was lost. Then you realized you was lost. Said, I'm on my way to hell. And it's the best judgment you ever judged up to that point. Amen. Then the Bible turns around and tells you to mark them which cause divisions. You say, what is it? Well, let me give you the literal interpretation of the verse. Thou shalt be judgmental. Amen. And thou shalt profit from not hanging around with bozos and fools and knotheads and prostitutes like old Samson in the Old Testament. Well, one good thing you can say for him, he had long hair like a Nazarite was supposed to. I can say some good things for you. You got a suit and tie on like a good Christian's supposed to. You got a King James Bible. You look like a Christian's supposed to. But I know if you're like me, there's things going on in the heart that'll make you backslid. There's things going on in the mind that'll take you out in the valley and kill you and leave you for dead. And a lot of us are just like an old pig laying around in the mud. We happy to lay out there and just get drier and drier and drier. It's comfortable out there. Once you get backslid, it's comfortable. It's comfortable for the flesh. At some point, the Holy Spirit's going to be screaming in your ear, wake up, wake up, wake up. But we can even get comfortable with that if we go long enough. And the more we put that voice on the back burner, the more we push that voice away, the drier you get. The drier you get. Used to say amen. Used to say hallelujah. Used to come to Sunday school. Used to go on visitation. Used to tell people at work about the Lord. Used to preach a little bit. Used to do the things that God wanted you to do. But now you're just dry. Dry. Somebody ought to throw you in a casket and take you out to Barrett's Chapel and bury you 2 or 3 feet deep. You ain't worth burying 6 foot deep. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Well, this is the age of the human rights. This is the age of self. Me, 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 me. And that's as good a way as I know of any of getting dead. That's as good a way as I know of any of getting backslid and become useless. Well, if you're concentrating on yourself all the time, who else are you good for except for just yourself? Turn into just, I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to pamper me. I'm going to make me comfortable. I'm going to do something for me. After all, I deserve it. A bunch of Christians think just that way. I deserve this. I work hard for this. I catch myself doing that. You catch yourself doing it because we all in the flesh. We all got the same kind of flesh, lazy flesh. Backslidden, you can be as close to God as you've ever been in your life right here this morning. Your flesh is still backslid. Your flesh is still ornery. Your flesh is still mean. Your flesh is still selfish. And these folks laying here in this valley of dry bones should have died to self. Amen. But I don't guess we're going to spend too much time on the reasons, but what we do know this morning, looking back in verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4 there, they dead, we know that. Now you just let a preacher get up here and begin to preach and he'll tell you what's wrong with the church. Bless God, I'll tell you what's wrong with the church right now. Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with the church. Got people in them. I'll tell you what's wrong with the church. Got Baptists in them. What's wrong with the church? Got Bible believers in them. What's wrong with the church? It's got dispensationalists in them. What's wrong with the church? It's got King James only people in them. That's what's wrong with the church. What's wrong with the church? It's got you in them. Well, I'll quit this church and go to another church. Well, that church is already dead. You may as well go on over there and sit down with them. Thank you. You won't be no more alive over there than you are here. Amen. Amen. I'm supposed to be teaching Sunday school. I'm supposed to be teaching. But at any rate, let's look up in verse 1. Let me get on with the sermon here. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. It'd be a good idea if you get the hand of the Lord upon you. You know, I believe this with all my heart. I think somewhere over the years, Baptist folk, Bible-believing folk, whatever you want to call them, they got to the place where they thought, we're just going to go have a meeting and we're all going to get right with God, or we're going to have revival and then things are going to... Now listen, whether you call it revival or whether you call it going to the Lord in your prayer closet, I don't know what you call it. I don't even care what you call it. You're not going to have revival till you get the hand of the Lord upon you. These folks that we read about in this passage, they're Israelites. They're God's people. They're under the covenant of Abraham. They're in the covenant. They are God's people, but they're dead and they're dry. And you sat here this morning, you're Baptists and you're Bible believers and you're dispensationalists and some of you are Christians, but I tell you the problem that you got going on in your life, you don't have the hand of the Lord upon you. Well, I showed up to revival last week. That don't mean doodly squat unless you got the hand of the Lord upon you. The purpose of the meeting was to get the hand of the Lord upon you. Well, we're going to go, and I think a lot of people got the attitude and the idea, I'm going to go listen to preaching this week. And they got the idea, I'm going to listen, and that's the method that God chose, but a lot of people ain't even listening to preaching no more. They're listening for something they agree with. I'm going to go hear Brother Green because, I mean, he tells it just like I believe it. Well, listen, you don't really need to hear somebody preach stuff you believe. You need to hear somebody preach something that'll help you and change you and inspire you. And Brother Mark was talking about them goads the other day. He didn't know what it is. He knows what it is. He's just being funny. And I know what it is, but some of you don't know what it is, I don't think. A goad is something you follow an old cow or follow an old sheep or something like that and it don't want to move, you stick him with it. Get you moving. That's what you need. You don't need a sermon that you already agree with. You need somebody to jump up on the pew right in your face and say, hey, God wants to put his hand on you and use you and do something with you. But you dry. You dry. Amen. You need to get the hand of the Lord upon you. Oh, you got, listen, you got preachers. You got preachers in this country. You got preachers. Don't have to be in this country. It can be anywhere. You got preachers all over the world today that know how to preach. Amen. Amen. People get up and preach a sermon and go home and study that sermon again and preach it again 6 months or 3 weeks. And then, boy, that didn't work too good. Let me and refine. You can refine a sermon down to where, man, it'd be the best thing you ever heard. Woo, that's a good sermon right there. And listen, there's preachers in this country had 3 or 4 wives. Not because they're widowers, because they got tired of the first one, picked up another one, got tired of that one, picked up another one, got tired of that one, picked up another one. Hey, they could preach the house down. They'd come in here and preach like you never seen. And people go, oh, come down the altar. You say, what do they got? God on them? They got a sermon on them. They got a sermon on them. What they need is the hand of the Lord on them. Amen. What Christians need is the hand of the Lord on them. Preachers need the hand of the Lord on them. Sometimes I think, Brother Ken, I ought to go get doped up, smoke me about a pound of crack, shoot me up some heroin, and go chase other women for 3 or 4 weeks, then come to church. Maybe people get stirred up. This is what it seems like to me. Ain't that a sad state of things. Brother Mike, I was down at this meeting last week. I heard this preacher and his wife and his little kids. Oh, they was the biggest blessing you ever seen. Oh, you should have heard them. Well, I heard he left his wife for that girl. I heard he was the youth pastor, and I heard he left his wife and run off with that girl. I heard that. Well, Brother Mike, you're being judgmental. You're out of your brain. Who taught you that mess? God didn't teach you that. God didn't tell us that. No, sir. Oh, Brother Mike, people fail. Yes, people fail. Yes, people fail. Yes, people do fail. There's forgiveness for failing. You get out of the way, get backslid, do something crazy. There's forgiveness for that. But I don't understand why this generation is so caught up with the adulterer and so caught up with the bad testimony that they'll go lose their mind over that stuff. Got a preacher stand in the pulpit every week and preach to you, and people sit here. Some old knothead cheat on his wife, run around the country pretending to be something he's not. People, oh, this is what we need. We need to get excited. That's because you got the devil on you, and you ain't got God on you.
Amen.
Brother Mike, I don't like that. I knew you didn't like that. Amen. I ain't never come to church looking to preach a sermon that somebody liked.
Amen.
Amen. I only try to preach sermons God's likes.
Amen.
Sometimes I preach one I like. Hopefully, it's not true, but hopefully that's as carnal as I'll ever be, preaching sermons that I like. But, hey, I'm going to miss that mark. I'm as bad as you. I'm as bad as anybody. Listen, that's exactly right. We all are. But see, that's the thing that's missing is in Christianity, it's supposed to be people that are broken and people that have hurt themselves and people that have hurt others that realize these things and say, oh, God, I'm sorry about that, and I want to get closer to you. And every time I mess up, Brother Joe, I got to go get on an altar somewhere and say, God, I'm tired of being a loser. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being dry. I'm tired of being an old stick in the mud. I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of this flesh. I'm tired of it beating me down. I don't feel like praying. That's exactly right, because you're dead and dry. You got to pray till you feel like it. Pray till you feel like it. Put the video games down. Pray. Yeah, turn off the TV and pray. Well, I've heard Brother Mark say all them things thousands of times. It's still good to me. It's still good. What's wrong with you? You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. How many times you listen to Beat It by Michael Jackson thousands of times because you got a devil in you. Come to church and say, I heard that preacher say that before. After you've spent the last 40 years listening to the same George Strait song, you old devil, you old hypocrite. You say, what's the problem? Well, that verse back over here, verse number 12, he says, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. That's what this passage is about, people getting up out of the grave. You know, I was once dead, was born dead. Born dead, they put me in a little box and laid me down. And I lived a couple years and found out I was lost and on my way to hell, that Jesus would save me. And one day, wouldn't it be something if you went down to Barrett's Chapel this week and people started sitting up? What in the world? How'd I get here? Huh, the prodigal son was dead, laying in the pig's trough. One day he woke up from the waste and stood up and said, oh. The Bible said he come to himself. Oh. One of these days you'll wake up. One of these days you'll be sitting there on the pew yawning. Oh, this preacher preaches too long. Not if I ain't preaching. Listen, if I ain't preaching longer than your favorite movie, I ain't preaching too long. The problem is you're dead. You're dry. Preaching don't interest you. Amen. Stand up here behind the pulpit and try to teach. Try to be calm. Try to give it to you straight. Try to explain stuff to you. Build you up. And people sit there going, this sure is boring. Then get blown out of your mind, run around and holler, oh, you better get right with God. And people sitting there going, oh, well, this fella right here, he's a little bit crazy, ain't he? Yeah, you ain't going to be satisfied with nothing, are you? Your deadhead, backslidden, dry bones, that's what's wrong with you. That's why 2 or 3 weeks from now you'll be out on the street somewhere doing the same old stuff you used to be doing because you're dry. This stuff's boring. This Bible's boring. Abraham's boring. Ezekiel's boring. Daniel's 70th week. What is that? Well, it ain't nothing. It's just a half week. Hadn't you heard? You know why Baptists are happier with half a week, don't you? Same reason they're happier with 3-day revivals instead of 7. Maybe we ought to just start disagreeing with the Bible. Just start disagreeing with it. Then we'll get a crowd. John Hagee disagrees with it. He got a crowd. Osteen disagrees with it. He got a crowd. I know some Baptists that disagree with it. They got a crowd. If you can't get a crowd in the building, they'll like you on Facebook or YouTube. We got a little YouTube thing for the church. I get dislikes on there. At least, the Bible says, woe be to you when all men speak well of you. If I get dislikes, I'm like, yeah! I think I know who it is. It's most of the time one cat, just one cat. Sometimes, oh, man, that's good. I think I know who it is. I'm praying for you. Amen. That's all right. Christianity is not a popularity contest. That's why we're dead. That's why we're dead. It's not a fashion show or popularity contest. This is not a contest to see who can get the weirdest and the strangest doctrines. Well, Brother Mike, Dr. Ruckman come up with all kinds of crazy stuff and people liked him. Yeah, but that's because he was an interesting human being. You, on the other hand, are a dead, dry stick in the mud. Nobody wants to hear that junk from you. Amen. You know what people need? They need preaching. I mean, they need real preaching. Ezekiel here, he says, He said he set me down the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open. If you keep your eyes shut and just look at the way people look, you think there's a lot of Christians around. You think there's a lot of people that love God. That's what you think. But the Lord said he told Ezekiel to walk around and look at them. the more Ezekiel looked, he said, this did look like a fine Bible-believing Baptist, but this ain't nothing but old skeleton. This right here ain't nothing but an old dead man. Brother Mike, why don't you come over to people? Preachers are supposed to come over to people's houses and eat cake with them and hobnob with them and fellowship with them. Well, one problem with that. The more time we spend at your house, the more sermon material we end up with. We forget about fellowshipping with you. So, boy, I'm going to have to get on this right here. Well, is that because you're meddling in somebody else's business? No, I mean, if you had a rattlesnake crawling around your feet, wouldn't you like me to tell you about it? Or would you like me to take out my bandana and put it around your eyes and blind you to the fact and say, boy, I hope that snake bites them. If that snake bites them on the ankle and they pass out, I'll be able to just prop them up on the pew and pass the plate in front of them every once in a while. Not meddling. Maybe I need to come eat cake. Got any cake at your house? Always. I'll tell you a quick way to kill a Baptist, and that's cake. Amen. Not just Baptists, that'll kill anybody. Amen. Every week I feel like I'm getting older, and I say, boy, I'm going to start eating better. Until supper time, and I say, next week. Amen. Next week. Hey, you don't have to be overweight to be unhealthy. Amen. But we ain't preaching on that. That's a sure way to get to the grave. But some of you are going to go to the grave, you know, healthy. You've been to the gym and working out and you got good physique, but on the inside you're just dead men's bones. Amen. But we've got to the place where churches have made people think that stuff like being healthy and fit and financially secure and, you know, the gain is godliness and all that stuff. You're okay. God loves you. God wants you to have $1 million. I got news for you. If God wanted you to have $1 million, you'd wake up in the morning and it'd be on your doorstep. No robber could steal it. Nobody could run off with it. Your aunts and uncles and cousins couldn't cheat you out of it. Huh? You don't know how many families there are that won't even speak to them. He got grandma's old something or another. He didn't take it from you. God gave it to him. Well, unless they are really a thief, and then the devil gave it to him. Can't forgive your own cousin because somebody left behind or something. That's ridiculous stuff. Christians that was awake wouldn't get caught up in that stuff. Amen. Well, I didn't get Aunt Susie's favorite brush. Well, you ain't got no hair anyway. You spent $50 at the hair salon last week. It still looks like a mop. Amen. If you're going to spend $50 at the hair salon, we have I'd give you a plug there, but I don't know the name of it. April's Place. Amen. Amen. Let's move on. He said there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Compared to the way some of you used to be when you first got saved, you're very dry. Amen. Very dry. You know what that is? I have to say this. You know what that is? That's judgmental. Amen. Amen. I know you had a fellow come in here a couple months back and preach a message that all we are sons of God. That's all we are. I got news for you. There's so many titles in that book in the New Testament, in the Pauline epistles. You couldn't cover them all in one sermon, I tell you that. Amen. But that's the mood of this generation. We're sons of God. We got imputed righteousness. Yeah, but what about all this stuff you're doing when ain't nobody looking? What about you? What about me? What about the flesh? What about faithfulness? What about unfaithfulness? You know what that is? That's judgmental. That's judging yourself or somebody else judging you. Because ain't nobody walking around going, I'm so unfaithful. Of course, that is the standard Baptist testimony, which is a lie right out of the pit of hell. Stand up in the church, oh, I'm so unfaithful, I'm so unworthy. That's a lie. That's a lie. Listen, when somebody stands up and starts talking about that, 9 times out of 10, that is a bald-faced lie. That's an opportunity to be seen. Amen. Yes, sir. You say, how do you know, Brother Mike? Because I've been a pastor, and I've been preaching, and I've been saying you ain't worthy, and people have been leaving the church. Or unliking me on YouTube. That's so hurtful. That hurts so bad. Feel sorry for me, Brother Joe. Pat me on the back. That's what most people are living for right there. Lord have mercy. Got people falling asleep in a message like this. I'd hate to be teaching a regular old message this morning. People come to church all week long. I wonder why it is going to church during a revival meeting wears people out so bad. But bingo on Thursday night and family get together on Friday night and baseball practice on Wednesday night and PTA meeting on Tuesday night and dinner with the cousin or the favorite friend on Monday night, that don't wear people out. Don't understand it. Your schedule's so full. Oh, yes, sir, I'm living the good life. Go to church for a week. I'm about dead, preacher. Could you pray for me? Brother Mike, we had such a great week. Oh, where was the amens and the shouting? What was the tears and the getting right? I was looking forward to, towards the end of the week, I was looking forward to burning something. Brother Mark started talking about burning stuff. Well, if you can shoot it or burn it or blow it up, I'm for it. Amen. Brother Mark said, burn stuff. Used to burn stuff. Burn them old records. Burn them old whatever else. Amen. Amen. Burn my TV, but I paid too much for it. Don't you know that's a factor? Yes, sir. I was looking forward to something like that. Hey, man, I found something to burn. Brother Mike, we sure are glad for that revival meeting. I hope so. I really hope so. You say, what's the problem? What's the problem? Well, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. You know what I'd have said if I'd have been Ezekiel? I'd probably said no. Lord, take you out and put you in the middle of the church. Say, just look around in here. Can any of these people get revival? Take you downtown Dover and let you see what's going on in Dover. Say, can these people get saved? Probably say no. You know a lot of preachers are saying just that. You know, I've heard come right out of preachers' mouth, preachers that had to read across Genesis and see God bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. People that saw the Lord part the Jordan River so that they could come into the promised land. The same preachers that read over the fact that God let manna rain down from heaven. The same people that saw great victory after great victory. Brother Mark told you about some of those preachers who read right over that passage of Scripture and stand right in front of a church and say, God ain't giving us no more revivals. Can these bones live? Same question. Can we have revival in this day and time, Brother Ken? Same question. Same question. You said, well, God promised to revive Israel. God promised to save them that believe on his name. What's the difference? What's the difference between them two promises? One belongs to a nation, one belongs to individuals. Hey, a whole nation could reject God while one man could still say, yes. Go up to a man on the street this week. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Get you a job where they got to get in the truck with you and they can't jump out going 55 miles an hour down. Get up to speed. Hey, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about you coming to church with me on Sunday. Let's talk about, huh? Well, you say, well, Brother Mike, what's one person going to mean? What's the matter with you anyway? What's the matter? Didn't you hear the sermon this past week where Brother Mark said two guys said, hey, let's go try this. Two people got a little platoon in flight, and next thing you know, the whole army was it. You, Brother Mike, I think we need to pray that God would take out Nancy Pelosi. Why are you thinking about Washington, D.C.? Why don't you think about your house? I'm afraid God take me out.
Amen.
Huh? If I'm a Christian, I'm afraid God will take me out.
Yep.
There's a bunch of little kids running around this church. Bunch of them. And the only ones I've ever disciplined are mine. Amen? Some of your kids might need a whooping. And I might preach a sermon on that one of these days if the Lord ever leads me to. But I ain't going to whoop them. When I growed up, some stranger would whoop you. And then when you got home, he gave me a whooping. Then mama give you a whooping. Forgetting the whooping. I got a feeling, though, that wasn't for my discipline. I got a feeling that was because I embarrassed them. Amen? Sometimes parents give you a whooping for embarrassing. You embarrassed me, boy. Oh, that's so bad. I don't know. Used to be in this country, your name meant something.
Amen.
Used to be in this country, Jones meant something or Smith meant something. And Christian
hey.
Meant something.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. God ain't very much worried about Nancy Pelosi except for her getting saved.
Amen?
Amen. Suppose all this, we need to get these people killed, and we need to get these people. No. I'm going to pray God kill them. Well, let's pray that way. Let's pray that way. And ask God to be just as long-suffering to you as he is to her.
Amen.
Then we'll see how you pray.
Amen.
Hmm. See, what you worried about, you worried about losing a few rights. You worried about losing your guns. You worried about losing free speech. But you ain't worried about losing your testimony.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
How about that testimony? How about that Christian name? You ain't worried about losing that.
Amen.
I said, Brother Mike, this is adult Sunday school. This is the cream of the crop. This is the choir. We got the sorriest choir on the planet. Yes, sir. Me too. Me too. I hate to join the Me Too movement, but me too.
That's right. You're right, bro.
You know, you know who I'm more fed up with than Nancy Pelosi? Me. Me.
Amen.
If you had anything about you and the Spirit of God on you, you'd feel the same way. He said, can these bones live? I said, I don't know. You know. That's what he said. And I answered, oh, Lord God, thou knowest. What are you asking me for? God does know. Did y'all know God knows? When God was looking for Adam in the garden, you think he didn't know where he was? When God asked Cain where his brother Abel was, you think he didn't know? You think he don't know where you are? You think just because you got a suit and a tie on the Bible under your arm, he don't know who you are and how dry you are and how dead you are? You think he don't know? You ain't got a real idea about who God is. God's this fella I keep in my trunk. When I get a flat tire, I'll open it up and let him get out and help me. Help me. So I understand. Don't get me wrong. You ought to be crying out to God on a daily basis, help me. But you think man made God in order to help himself. That ain't true. That's what I was trying to say the other week. Some of you might have took it wrong, and if you did, I hope you thought about it for a couple of weeks. But you're not God. God is God.
Yes.
Amen. God is God. Man, I got to move on because I'm losing time. I've got plenty of time left. Praise the Lord. Seems like I've been preaching for hours. Don't it seem like that way to you? Amen. Look what he says. He says, behold, he says, and again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know what the solution is for churches to get right with God? It's preaching. Now, again, I said it a while ago, preachers always stand up and say, the problem in the church today. Usually I just turn that off, and sometimes I'm surprised because they do got the right answer. When you got somebody that's got all the answers, man, I mean just, I get wore out with that stuff. This is going to be 7 ways to fix your marriage. Let's just do one. Get right with God. Just get right with God. Go around and try to do everything right all day. You won't have no problems unless one of you still backslid. But boy, don't you think that there ain't some women that goes to this church right here that puts up with a knothead day in and day out
They're uncooperative. They're uncaring. They're selfish as the day is long. And if they ain't careful one of these days, they're going to lose their wife. Yep. There's women that's the same way. They're going to lose their husband. Huh? One of them might be trying to serve the Lord. The other one might be in a far country. It might be the opposite direction. They might both be trying to serve the Lord in their own mind, Hey, I'm trying to do right. But they're selfish, selfish, selfish. Amen. It's going to cause problems down the road. One of these days, going to look around and see two old married people out there in the valley of dry bones, and they're going to be very dry. We used to be making googly eyes at one another. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, you quit staring at Angelina Jolie, your wife will get a little prettier. Hmm? A lot of marriages dead just because of that sort of thing. Hmm? Little old lady, look, God in heaven help me. I don't know what women enjoy or like or attracted to or anything like that. But whatever it was that attracted, you got your mind on something else. You used to look at him and say, that's my hunk of a man. But now he's an old retard, and he probably is. He probably is. But you used to love that retard. Now something happened. That's right. She said it was her retard.
Not what I said.
Well, my version was funnier. Amen. Amen. Look what that, listen. I said these preachers, they got all the answers. I'm going to give you 7 reasons why you can do this, that, or the other. Listen, you know what the church needs? It needs preaching. I mean, it needs a preacher to pray about his message. Yeah. I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about the whole country. I'm talking about the whole world. Churches all over the place. The Valley of Dry Bones is big. It's big. Hold a lot of people. And what we got preachers. I'm gonna sit down. I'm going to come up with the very best study on the book of Revelation or the book of John or the book of Romans you ever say. And dead. It's dead. It's dead. What you need is to get the hand of the Lord upon you. Let the Lord take you out and look around, see what's going on. Brother Mike, sometimes when you preach, it sounds like you're watching our lives. Yeah, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Listen, I said, Brother Rick here got some gray hair, and I got some gray hair. I just cut mine off, but it pops out in other places. Well, what good would it do for me to come and preach about the glory and the honor of the gray head when we all got gray hair?
Yeah.
There's 100,000 people that enjoy studying the second advent. And about 1% of them actually think it's going to happen. I mean, they believe it someplace in their mind, but that's going to be, could be years, could be. But listen, you study the second advent because he is our blessed hope. Amen. And some people have no hope. Listen, the point of studying the second advent is not to show what you know about the second advent. Hey, it's not to prove a 3-year or a 7-year tribulation. That's not the point. The point of studying the Bible is not to prove if there's a gap theory or not a gap theory. The point of studying the Bible is to give you hope. And there's a bunch of Baptists with no hope. They come to church with questions, they go home with questions. They come to church with a hard heart, and they go home with a hard heart. They come to church thinking about their pet project, and they go home thinking about their pet project. You say, what's the answer? Preach! 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 Get in their face and holler and spread COVID all over the place. Amen. I don't know that a good case of COVID might do some folks some good. Amen. Amen. I don't know what it takes. I don't wish it on you. Some of you young fellas bench 390 pounds. It'd be good for you to get sick and have to lay in bed for a week. Holler and depend on God a little bit. I wouldn't wish it on you. I don't wish it on you. It don't take me out of context. I'm talking about, hey, when we're weak, then he's strong. David said, I was going astray, then I was afflicted. I'm not wishing it on you. God help it. God help me. I pray all the time, God help me not to be so hard-headed you got to beat me into submission. But guess what, Brother Heath? He has to beat me. He has to give me a whooping from time to time. Sometimes he let me lay out in the open valley just dry as I can be. One day you wake up and say, ain't I pitiful? I don't mean that pat me on the back kind of pitiful. I'm talking, man, I get a little study and figure out a few doctrines. I'm so wise. Wise are you? Next thing you know, God got you walking bent over. Oh. You know what God would rather do? I say all that to say this. You know what God would rather do? Rather than make you sick or send a pandemic to your planet. You know what God would rather you do? God would rather you open that book, let somebody preach to you. Whether it's you or me or Pastor Ryman or anybody. Open that book, let somebody preach to you, and you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to just put the Word of God right in. I mean, if the Word of God is not one of God's hands, I don't know what is. I tell you what, you lift people up with your hands. That word's lifted me up many a time. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's what I want. Ain't you? He said, thus saith the Lord God, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you. What's he talking about? Preaching a message. Preaching. Well, Brother Mike, I feel like if we had a better youth program. If we had a better bus, boy, if we had a better bus ministry, it'd really help this church. I hate to be that straight about it to the bus director, but I'm telling you, I'm not, do we need a bus ministry? Yes. Do we need a youth group? Yes. Yes, we need that kind of stuff. Lord, have mercy, how hard is it to keep teenagers' attention? It's hard. We want to do what we can, but I'm telling you what the answer is. It's preaching, the Word of God preaching. Stand up, listen to somebody stand up and give a dissertation or a lecture, stuff like that. I tell you, I like to hear what God's done for people, but most people talk more about themselves than what God can do. You know what I can do for you? Nothing, 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 nothing. I might can make you mad. I might can do that. I seem to be pretty good at that. But I can't do nothing for you. But I can holler at you and say, God can help you, Brother Eric. He can help you. He can help you. If I got to jump up and down or stand on my head to get your attention, I'll do that. But God's the one that can help you. God's the one. These folks get up on their feet and stand upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Why? Because one man preached and God moved. Ain't that what it said? Is that what it said? Ain't no youth. Anybody see the youth group in this passage? Huh? Anybody see the bus ministry in the passage? Anybody see the old folks ministry in the passage? Anybody see the food pantry in that passage? Because it ain't in there. Listen, I'll tell you this with all my heart. With all my heart, with no disgruntled feelings in my heart about it. I would get rid of the youth group. I would get rid of the bus ministry. I would get rid of every extracurricular activity in this church if it could be assured that you could preach to this congregation for 5 weeks and that they would get their heart right and get up and stand on their feet and army, 90% of the church don't even witness. Don't even pray. Because you're dry. 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 I don't know every person's heart and mind, but I know this. I know this about me. I would feel extra bad sitting in here on a Wednesday night, if I raised my hand and said, Brother Ken, pray for Robert Johnson. And I wasn't praying for Robert Johnson. Amen. Well, I pray for him about once a month. You're dry. You're backslid. You're dead. All your thoughts are not on God. And it's showing up in your life today. And it's going to show up in your life more next week. And it's going to show up more in your life the week after that. And the week after that. Until it eats your life apart. That's the truth. That's true. We don't like to hear it, but the same thing goes for me. The same thing goes for me. It's happened to me. Hundreds and hundreds. I've been saved since 1975. I would have to admit to you, if I was honest, that most of that time been in a backslidden state. I might have had my Bible under my arm. Might have had my suit jacket on. I could have even been in the pulpit preaching dry, out of context. go along during the course of the week and say, I think this would be a good message to preach. God don't care what you think. I remember working with Brother Heath and his brother Jack out there on the thing, and I was telling about, oh, this is the way I preach right here, brothers. I write me out a sermon, word for word, and then I read it again. If I don't like something in there, I scratch. Remember this conversation? I'll scratch it out, and I'll write it again, and I'll refine it. And I'll go back and read it again. If I don't like that, boy, I'll scratch that part out, and I'll refine it. Boy, you should hear the original sermons. 6 hours long. And you know what? 6 hours dry. Dry. It's foolishness. You remember being young? Anybody else remember being young? Listen, writing and rewriting a sermon, you might learn something foolish like that in a Bible college. But I tell you what you learn when you get alone with God. God will say, hey, I want you to say this. I want you to talk about this. He ain't got to give you every word and refine it and cut out sentences and make it shorter and better and more precise. All he wants is a dumb old country boy or a dumb old city boy to get out somewhere where he gets the opportunity to preach and get the hand of God upon him and start prophesying. Same word means preaching. Just get up, jump right up on the stump somewhere. Preach! Just preach! Hey, God wants to tell you to get up, you old dry bones! How are you going to talk to people like that? Because we're very dry. Very dry. Not going to get revival unless God breathes on us. If the preacher breathes on you, you might pass out. He might not have had his Altoids today. But if God breathes on you, dead man get up. Backslid people start coming back to church. Co-workers start getting saved, or they get madder. Here lately I find the latter result is the true one. But I know this, if the God in heaven is the God I think he is, when them old boys that get mad at you at work lay their head on their pillow at night, if God's the faithful God I believe he is, he gets down there and whispers in their ear, that guy at work you don't like, he's right. He's telling you the truth. Amen. I believe God bears witness with preaching. I believe God bears witness with witnessing. Amen? I still believe in the same God that cleaned up the county I'm from. Amen? All them surrounding counties. They talk about, God used to shut down saloons. I guess God gone out of the saloon shutting down business. As a result, they feel the same way about saving people. These people are not going to get saved. They feel the same way about revival. We can't have revival in this time. You can't. If that's your attitude, you can't. You can't. Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. Pray you'd help us. God, I would say about myself most of the time, dry. Very dry. Pray you'd help me not to be dry. Pray you'd preach to me and breathe on me. Help me and strengthen me and do something good in my life. Lord, I don't want to die a failure. I don't want to die backslid. I don't want to die just dried up on the vine, Lord. I want to be used. I want you to help me. I want you to help this congregation. Lord, I pray you'd help my preacher. Help him to preach this morning, God. I pray you'd do great things. Pray you'd help the congregation. Pray you'd help these little bus kids, God. I pray you'd do something in their hearts and lives. Pray you'd help our teenagers, God. Get a hold of them. They dry. They're very dry, God. I pray you'd help them and strengthen them, God. And I thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break this morning.